again, and welcome everybody to another episode of BitNote. We've got some great video game and video game music lined up, but for this episode, we're going to focus on the Epic game. The one, the only, a game I've been wanting to talk about for a while. It's Minecraft. Well, all my listeners, something rather epic happened today. Microsoft bought the studio that makes Minecraft for $2.5 billion. Yeah. And considering that one guy is the majority shareholder, I mean, of course, Notch, he has basically found himself with easily over $1 billion in his pocket, a single person, and all he wanted to do from the start until the end was to make video games. For fun. Oh boy. This Minecraft is a long and crazy story that other people have told much better than I probably am going to do it, although I probably should be a little less dismissive of myself. I am, after all, a radio commentator and music player of great video game stuff. But I think that Minecraft is such an epic saga that it's just hard to know where to even start. And I mean, like, which ironically was pretty much my impression when I first played the game. I wasn't quite sure where to start. You may have heard a lot about this and what it's about and everything. So I suppose I better start right at the very, very, very beginning. One day I was browsing the internet. The internet is a highly connected network of computers that, I'm just joking, I'm not going to go into that level of detail. But I came across I'd been reading a webcomic for a while called VG Cats. It was an amusing comic about a guy who basically imagines his cats in the roles of various different video game characters playing out scenarios. There's Leo, who's an idiot, and there's Ares, who's like the smart one who's constantly sick of Leo's shenanigans. Generally, he takes a game and uses the characters inside the game to like satirize it or make fun of it. But while he normally makes fun of games that were well known, the previous week or so he had actually made fun of a game that I hadn't heard about, some Gunbound or something. It was an online game. And then he made fun of another game, which I also didn't have any idea about, and I was like, seriously, Scott. Scott's his name, by the way, the artist. Are you going to actually make fun of a game we've actually heard of? And I mean, I read through the strip and I was going, I guess it's funny if you know the game, and I noticed that all the characters seem to be very, very blocky. And it turned out, then when I went and said, yeah, I found this exciting game called Minecraft, and I was, yeah. And I kind of left it at that. A while later, Penny Arcade, which I mentioned before is like pretty much one of the biggest, greatest gaming webcomics on the internet, and so expansive that they've also spread into making gaming conventions, one of which I managed to attend, and also actually make games themselves and so many other things. But they did a 3-comic saga covering Minecraft, and by that stage it was kind of covering big things. And soon it seemed like everyone was talking about Minecraft, and it only grew and grew, and everyone set about playing it and all this sort of stuff, and boy. I bought it pretty early and I tried playing a bit out of it, and by this stage my rebellious nature was saying I'm not going to do this because it was popular. But I still kind of got it and I still tried it out a few times, but each time I kind of didn't quite get it. So it would be ages later when I realized that it turned out I was approaching it wrong basically. With this game, a lot of games, you know, you just play the game and that's it. If you go onto the internet for help, you're cheating. But it turned out on Minecraft is the core concept. And even when Scott had originally mentioned the game, he immediately pointed readers to this, like, image that gave you all the basics of how to play it. So it wasn't until I actually got my head, you know, swallowed my pride, got that guide, and realized how dependent you are on the internet to play the game that it is. But, you know, like, what is Minecraft? What's it like to play? Well, you download the thing. It's a jar file, which means you might have prop running, but you'll get it running more or less. You'll have to install Java. You start it up and you find yourself in an area, a forest maybe, or maybe even a slight desert. You walk around and realize that everything's kind of made out of blocks. The term is voxels, but all the trees have square trunks. If there's a gradually slope in front of you, it won't be a slope. It'll just be like a layer of blocks and then another layer of blocks on top of it. It's a little like everything was made out of Lego, which comes important later, and you're kind of wondering what's going on. You realize if you click, you can punch things, and then you can punch trees, and gradually you break down the tree chunks, and it disappears, and you get a block of wood. And then you notice that the rest of the tree is completely suspended in midair, despite the fact you've neatly destroyed the middle section of that tree. This gets kind of weird. You later realize that you can also punch bits of sand or dirt. And once you punch that block, it disappears, you can pick it up, and you got like an inventory on the bottom. And you're kind of wondering, you know, okay, you can destroy parts of this world I am, what else can you do? And then you discover that not once you've picked up a block, you can place it. So for instance, you could destroy, you know, a bunch of dirt in an area, and then like you put them down in a wall. Or you can do what I did, constantly punch a bunch of sand to get a whole load of sand in your inventory, then put down a sand block, get onto the block, jump, put a sand block down below you while you're in midair, land on that, jump, put another one down, and gradually keep jumping and putting block down until you're on the top of a very, very high pinnacle way above the sea, with a great view around you, and while all the monsters go down below you. That's another thing, actually, when the night falls, monsters start attacking. Zombies, spiders, skeletons that are archers. This is getting bad. That's what a lot of people do. You know, they try to actually, you know, hit the blocks, build shelter, and keep refuge from them. So it's kind of like that's how it is at first. Of course, in my case, I'm at the top of a gigantic pillar. None of them can attack me because they're so far down. But in order for me to get down, either I disassemble this thing block by block, or I hurl myself off the top of it, hit the ground, impact, kill myself, and respawn somewhere. Usually for me, it was a second option. Speaking of which, when you respawn, you realize you've lost everything that you'd spent so much time gathering, but if you make a dash to where you originally died, you might still be able to grab everything. That becomes very important later on in the game. So by this stage, it's kind of survival. You're in an unfamiliar world. You realize you can gather all these blocks and some wood and some dirt and some sand and everything, but then you're not quite sure what to do with it, and sometimes you can build like a very nice hut which will keep you safe from the monsters, but when you go out again, it's still, you know, so you can, basically the game gradually transitions from night to day to night, you know, like a lot of games, everything from Zelda and stuff. When it's night, you've got to take shelter, but when it's day, it's going okay. Right, it rhymed and I didn't even know it. But gradually you're walking across and across the terrain. It might be, you might see a nice valley, everything's, you might see a valley or a lake, you might see the seaside or go across. You're going across this blocky scenario and you're kind of wondering about this stage what exactly to do. Like I said, I hadn't found the guide first. But while you're standing and seeing all this beautiful scenario, exploring and seeing how the world changes, sometimes some very nice music pops up. And this is what I'm going to start with. This is the track from Minecraft. It's called Cam 1. And have a listen. Thank you. So that was a beautiful track. It is, of course, from Minecraft. It was composed by German composer Daniel Rosenfield, a.k.a. C418, and it is from, of course, Minecraft, which is developed by Marcus Notch Persson and Mojang. So to continue, by this stage you're going across the very nice, abstract, almost cartoony, well, not quite cartoony, but just very vibrant landscape, often with a lot of greenery and a sky. And finally, you might pick up a guide and realize what you're actually meant to be doing. It turns out that when you press a certain key in the keyboard, a crafting thing comes up, and using that, you basically take wood that you got from the tree and process that into actual timber. You put the timber and create a crafting board, and then with the crafting board, you can make a lot of other items by using stuff you've picked up. You start with my making a wooden pickaxe. Once you've got the wooden pickaxe, you use it to mine stone, which you need to get. Then you get the stone, put it into the grid again, and use it to make a stone pickaxe. And this will let you mine stone, but just a heck of a lot faster. You can see why I was stumbled about how to work this out in the first. You need a bit of guidance in this sort of thing. And then it gets very interesting. Then you take your stone pickaxe, you can go down, you can start digging not just below the dirt, but into the actual stone itself and build the mine. You've done the crafting, this is the mining, and start mining all these tunnels, and suddenly you find caverns, and suddenly you find monsters in those caverns, and then the monsters will kill you, and you'll miss you, and you'll lose your stone pickaxe, so you can either try to run and get that stone pickaxe back, or have to try to go get wood and mine the whole thing all over again. See how exciting this game is. But seriously, you've made it into the cavern, so you realize something else you need is so you try to make another stone pickaxe, you mine more stone, then you might find coal. With coal, you combine that with wood back on the crafting table to make more torches, which are, torches as in, like, you know, flame torches. Put them up, illuminate the cavern, and then you're able to mine more. And then you might find materials, like, you know, iron ore and stuff. And for that, then you'll basically need to put stone into the crafting table to make a furnace. With the furnace, you can smelt all this ore into actual metal, like pure iron, and then with the iron ore you can use that to combine that with the wood to make an iron pickaxe, and this will let you mine a much faster, and then you're really getting smart. But you can not just mine pickaxes, you can also use the iron to mine swords or shields, well, yeah, or armor or whatever. So you see, this is how Minecraft works. You're gradually going into this hostile environment trying to get resources, and the resources you can process, mine, and craft into making more resources that will help you survive the environment even more. It's pretty just, and by continually doing this over and over, you can get a whole thing. And by this stage, you've got a lot of stuff. Now the monsters are pretty much attacking. There's like I said, there's spiders that attack you. One of the worst are creepers. They're these little cactus shaped things that will sneak up on you. You hear an hissing, and then you got two options: either you got to kill them really really fast, or run really really far away. Because if you don't run far enough away, they will detonate. They will explode. Yes, there is a slightly tasteless political commentary you can make about an enemy that goes right up to and explodes in a thing that will destroy themselves as well, but come on, let's leave that out. I think that was one of the first jokes Scott actually made in his webcomic, which I read, so it's an old joke if you're going to even try to make it. But the point is, there you have it. You're suddenly crafting all this stuff, and you realize that, wait a sec, what other stuff can I make? After all, when you're crafting stuff, you just put them all the items in a grid in a specific pattern. It needs to be very specific. So how do you know what patterns to make? And that's where the Minecraft Wiki comes in. You go online, you search up resources, you go through the Minecraft Wiki, you click and click, and you learn it all. And then you figure out how to make things. You figure out how to make railway tracks. You can make railway tracks. You figure out how to make a little rail cart that will go along it. You figure out what resources resources you want. You realize there are these things called diamonds, that if you get a diamond, you can make a sword that's incredibly sharp. You can make a shovel that will dig dirt away really fast. You can make a pickaxe that will go through things like butter. And you get really excited, so you dive right back into the depths and you get killed again. Somewhere around this line, you realize that you actually need food in order to survive. If you have no food, your health will drop to half, no matter how high it was. But if you have food, your health will always constantly regenerate. So you got to keep your stomach full if you want to keep your health full. Yes, it's kind of got a hunger end thing. It's a very clever mechanic, because it means that, you know, it makes food very important, but not vital, but still very, very important. So essentially, you go across the landscape and you might see a pig, and then you kill the pig, usually by swinging your sword at him, or if you don't have a sword, you try to punch the pig, he'll run off, you run after him again, you try to punch him again, and you can be doing this like for a few minutes, just desperately running after the pig and continue punching him until he eventually dies from repeated blunt force trauma. So by that stage, you'll get some... raw pork meat, and then you can actually decide, hey, wait a sec, you know, you can either eat it then and there, which is unsanitary, or you can throw it into the furnace, the same furnace you were using for smelting iron, and actually, you know, cook the meat, which will be even more healthier and restore more hunger. And it also doesn't imply very good hygiene standards if you're using the same thing for metalwork as you are for food. But this is a fictional universe. There are some jumps from disbelief that we're meant to go with. So you see now that, so then you realize, wait a sec, you know, going after and being this whole hunter and gatherer thing is just a thing. What happens if I actually, you know, make a pen, you know, take a lot of wood, make a fence and put all the pigs into it and let that, and then maybe get them breeding? And you can do that. And you can also do the same thing with chickens, or just dig a great big wide hole in the ground, throw a lot of chickens in there, and as they lay eggs, make them, you know, give birth to more and everything. And you can do that with cows too. And then there's also these wheat you can grow, so you can actually have to hoe the land. There's a special, just like you can make a shovel or a pickaxe, you can also make a hoe, and then when you hoe the land, it becomes fresh and you can put seeds down, they grow. You can grow all this sugar cane or other crops, and then you can basically combine that to make bread. And by this stage, it's kind of amazing. I mean, you've got basically a survival simulator, sort of like a hunter-gathering thing, a mining simulator, a basic a fight the monsters sort of adventure thing, and you've also got farming simulator and everything involved into it. A farming simulator as well, and also just basic home defense. This is amazing. They're like several genres in one thing. And the great thing about Minecraft is that the main interface barely ever changes. You're nearly always using the mouse to look around, the keyboard to move. If you're using a different platform like a gamepad, it might be different. And, you know, one button will ever use whatever you're holding, and the other will, you know, and the other will actually use it as an attack thing. And there's also a throw thing. So it revolves around a lot of consistent API. It's a very much contrast to something like, for instance, Incognito. I've never really talked about this game before, and I won't because I never finished playing it. But it's basically an indie game that basically also tries to include like first-person shooter, trading, space sim, kind of like an adventure thing, and also like a real-time strategy resource simulator. The problem with Incognito does that Minecraft doesn't have is Incognito has a completely new interface for each system. If you're in a first-person shooter, it's standard, you know, keyboard to move, mouse to look around. Suddenly, if you're in the space sim, you actually have to move the spaceship using a completely different control scheme. And then when you hit up a trading post, an interface will pop up that will provide another system that you got to get used with. Then if you send troops down to a planet, you suddenly got to click on all the units and move them to different places. It's just several different games kind of stuck to one. And that was one of the reasons that put me off. What really put me off, though, was that it had incredibly long loading times. But that's another thing. Incognito was a great experiment, but it showed how it could be troublesome implementing a lot of genres. Minecraft does this seamlessly. You're always a guy walking around using whatever items he has in hand. But at the same time, you're hacking monsters. Sometimes you're cutting through these mines looking for something else. Sometimes you're digging holes. Sometimes you're looking through this cavern. Sometimes you're swimming along. Sometimes you make a boat and you swim across in that, or you make a bit of a rail transport system. I mean, there's just it does a lot of different things, and that's one of the great things about it. And maybe you're just don't like the crafting or survival at all. Maybe you just want to put blocks down and just do it as well. And the game lets you do that in a different mode called creative. So Minecraft is both a challenging, multifaceted gaming experience and a creative thing. And also something like a gaming design program where you can just design models, almost like 3D models. People have done insane things like recreate cathedrals or recreate countries or, you know, recreate the Starship Enterprise. I mean, people have used this to create models and great worlds, and it's been fantastic. And that's all before you connect to the internet or a server, hook into other people's games, and then start playing this online with other people. And boy, I mean, that's just the start. You can do all that, but now you can do it with other people. Maybe they're better than you and they give you resources. Maybe you're joking around with each other. Maybe you're playing and just having fun. I mean, boy, where do I even start? Oh, boy. And a lot of people say that the game Minecraft doesn't have an ending. It actually kind of does. There's, and I only found this out by looking at the wiki, you have to get a lot of specific equipment, which you have to do involving going to a hell-like dimension. There's called the Nether, which is kind of creepy. And then, of course, there's this really weird thing called an Ender Dragon you have to beat, and that's a tough boss fight. I remember doing that with friends, didn't quite manage to make it out. I think I died before they defeated him, so I kind of managed to do it on myself in my own personal game. Like I said, the great thing is how you can do it. And when you complete the game, you even get this nice lot of... you get this really nice bit of text scrolling by, which is actually written by an Irish author. Yes, apparently an Irish author was involved in this. It was he was Julian Gough. He is an Irish novelist, and also he was in a music band, Toasted Heretics, which you may remember. But the point is, it's kind of funny, because Minecraft is kind of a bit of an eternal game. That's why it's not like most games where people play it, finish up, and complete it. Even though you can complete it, and it's kind of fun to get to the credits and go through the whole journey of the hell, and maybe working with others, and then the best equipment, and then possibly screwing up completely and losing all your stuff and having to try again. It's just kind of amazing how it's... at the time when you finally get beat it and like get the credits thing, you get this really interesting like text and narrative. It feels very existential and reflective and a bit arty, and it's kind of like it looks back on the experiences and looks for new meanings and everything, and it's very, very interesting. And it's kind of interesting that Irish literature is so well known and so prominent that it's even found its way into one of the greatest selling games of all time, i.e. 25 million copies sold, and that's across all platforms. It's very popular, especially with kids who want to have fun and are creative. I think it's great because it's a great learning tool. It's great because it encourages socializing. And there have been a lot of creative people who have like created parodies or tribute music videos that are often parodies of other things, or animations online. And of course, there's things like the Yogcast where people... I mean, this is what people do. They're trying to look for more information. They're trying to learn how to play the game better or to do cool things. For instance, they wanted to create... I saw a girl and she was like trying to create really nice flower buckets and learned from looking up online and seeing a video on YouTube that basically if she made windows and put them on the ground and then opened them in the direction of this cube of dirt and then put a flower on top, it would look like a very nice flower pot. And it's these sort of like tricks and manipulations of the game that people are learning. It's a whole challenge. And that's before you even get into all these people who are actually modifying the game, actually trying to like look into this game and, you know, coding, the actual Java. I've learned kids who... There's even a guy who's working the station, and he's looking into Java coding so he'll be able to modify the game, Minecraft, for his own intents and purposes. And that's incredible. That's awesome. This game is actually getting kids to program, to people to learn how to develop and have fun and create artistic stuff and mind stuff and go on incredible adventures all in one, and then meet up with other people online and then chat to other people online and have a great common reference point. It's almost kind of a shame it's been taken off by Microsoft. They're going to ruin it. I'm biased against Microsoft. And I've worked at Microsoft. But yeah, Microsoft is going to be... Up to now, it's been about serving the player base. But once it's bought by a good company, the focus will always be furthering the company's interest. And generally, they will kind of try to help the player base for at least the short term. But sooner or later, business interests are going to win out, and how well. It was nice, Flawn. I really, really didn't want to end this show on a downer, but, I mean, realistically, it's because of the buyout that really made me finally get off my rear end and actually make this episode. And I spent a whole thing talking about it. I mean, I haven't even... because I really felt there was so much in this game to cover, and it's still pretty hard, but... Minecraft is still a fun game. It's an experience. It's especially fun with friends. There's so many ways of modifying and everything, and I wish it the best to both Minecraft and to Notch, the guy who basically is selling it on... He's the one guy who made it just for fun, and it expanded into something else. And one of the reasons he's selling, because it brought on a lot of pressure, and he just wanted to do his own thing, and I respect that. But I wish the best to Notch, to Minecraft, to Mojang, who have been bought out, and to all the Minecraft players. because the Minecraft players, the YouTubers, the Minecraft people who've done their own thing, who created fantastic works, or just even had fun and enjoyed yourselves. People look at all the great accomplishments. Sometimes just having fun with friends is important. I wish you all the best, and I'll leave you now with another bit of track from the game. It was also composed by Daniel Rosenfield, aka C418, and of course from Minecraft by Marcus Notch Persson. And I haven't even covered the conventions, but I wish all the players out there the best. Have fun, and this is a tribute to a game that was great, but really who was great for what it brought out in other people as well as the game itself. Have a listen, and hope you enjoy.